Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In chapter 8, Paul refers to our giving as a kind of gathering, as the children of Israel gathered manna each day for their daily supply. In chapter 9, our giving is called sowing, as a farmer sows seeds in order to produce a crop in order to meet his family's daily needs. Gathering and sowing. This is the renewed thought concerning the offering of material items to meet the needs in the body of Christ. Francis Ball has joined us for the final of 4 programs, really, we've had dealing with these 2 chapters. I think you were involved in the first of these 4 programs, and now here we are back to kind of tie the bow on it. Francis, welcome back to the program.
Well, this is a marvelous 2 chapters, and I think dealing with something that we're all acquainted with, but not much in this way.
Yeah, these 2 terms that we've been looking at the last couple of days, the gathering, this was a reference to Exodus 16, of course, when the children of Israel went out each day and gathered the manna that the Lord had miraculously provided. And there, of course, the interesting instruction, we saw this in our program yesterday, they were only to gather as much as they needed for that day. And this kept their dealing with the Lord rather fresh, I think, didn't it?
I believe that would. Certainly, the gathering is something that was really quite a marvelous example by the children of Israel going through the wilderness, gathering their daily supply in such a miraculous way.
Now today, in chapter 9, we'll spend a little more time on this matter of the sowing. Our giving really is our sowing, and if we sow sparingly, that's how we'll reap. If we sow bountifully, then we'll expect another kind of reaping. But before we get into that, Francis, as I was gone for a couple of days there and Matt Miller sat in and took my place, the program that you and Matt did the other day, something touched me about the way that that was positioned, and I think it'd be good to end this section on these 2 chapters the same way. And that is that, well, when Paul brought up the matter of giving in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, it was right after a whole chapter dealing with resurrection. And that's the only way in which this matter of giving really becomes something that we can say with our own words, as Paul does here in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, that God loves a cheerful giver, not out of necessity, in other words, not out of some sort of religious obligation. Then in this book, when he brings it up, chapters 8 and 9, they're in the context of are being fully reconciled to God and into God. That means our living and our experience of God is very genuine, very fresh, and very real. These really are the preconditions of life that enable us to be able to take such a word that we'll hear today, aren't they?
I think that's the basis for which we can get into this chapter, or these 2 chapters, and see how giving could be such a marvelous experience with people who are living in resurrection. They can do it cheerfully, not out of necessity or even any compelling, but just something out of their living. So I'm really anxious to get into this message myself.
As Dan and I were talking about this yesterday, I think one of the things that was helpful, and I'd like to also bring this up in the beginning of our program today, is to understand that the context here in Paul's dealing with the Corinthians was that he was preparing a rather large gift that had been collected from a number of the churches in that region of Macedonia and Asia Minor, as it's called today, you know, when we refer to those biblical cities up there in what was ancient Greece. And these churches had offered quite willingly, some of these phrases are very touching even, that some gave out of their own lack, and they were giving to the churches in Judea. These were the Jewish churches. And of course, this was potentially the big schism or division in the body of Christ between the Jewish churches down in Judea and these Greek churches up in Asia Minor. So this giving had a very profound impact, didn't it, on the fellowship in the body of Christ in a practical way.
I think this is one of the greatest things to give an example of the oneness of the body among the churches and to see that there is a real care for one another that's not built out of any kind of phony attempt to be liked, but because of the genuine love and their genuine care for one another. This kind of giving is just a demonstration of the oneness that existed between those churches.
This is really an example of very practical fellowship, spiritual but very practical.
I believe so. And I just talked to a brother today on the phone who's very burdened about this matter, that it would be done in a proper way without any compulsion and without any kind of begging, that sort of thing, but at least very definitely with an interest in all that the Lord is doing over the earth, that we would not be ignorant of the fact that this takes the giving of all the saints that are involved.
Really something. I mean, the gospel had been preached in Judea first, and churches established there first, but then it spread out into the Gentile world. And now here is Paul among these Gentile churches, and the giving is going back the other direction. This is the divine operation in the body of Christ. And as you said, this was God's move on the earth.
Yeah.
And they had that kind of view.
That's good, because you have a two-way traffic. That way is very sweet.
Well, let's look at a couple of verses here, one from chapter 8 and a couple from chapter 9, that bring out both of these two, I guess, metaphors is adequate or accurate to describe how Paul is introducing this matter of giving. In chapter 8:15, he says, "As it is written," quoting now from Exodus 16, "He who gathered much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no lack." Mm. And then chapter 9, verse 6, "But take note of this, he who sows sparingly shall also sparingly reap, and he who sows with blessings shall also with blessings reap." Well, let's join Witness Lee, Francis.
Your giving of material things in chapter 8 is a kind of gathering. That is not your giving. That's a gathering. Now, in chapter 9, your giving is not only likened to gathering, but also to sowing. Your giving is your sowing. Everybody knows if you are sparing in sowing, you say, "I like to save some seed. I don't like to sow that much. I like to spare some seed." So you sow sparingly. Here it says, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But if you sow with blessing, some translate this, if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Here we have a problem. You check with the farmers. When they sow, their thought is that they sow every seed for themselves. That kind of sowing is not with blessing. You sow with blessing. Blessing means what? Giving to others. You are sowing with blessing to others. When you are giving, you're making money, you're giving, is the sowing. And you sow not with the intention for yourself, but with the intention for others. You sow with the blessing to others. Then you reap with the blessing from God to you. Dear saints, we, the children of God, all must learn one thing, to give. We all know sowing spontaneously will bring you the reaping. Sowing brings you the harvest. This is the law. So if you sow with scarcity, you'll be ready to reap with scarcity. Be generous in sowing. Then, when you reap with liberality.
Francis, as we referred to in the opening of the program today, these are probably familiar passages. I think they're spoken about frequently from pulpits and on radio programs and Christian TV programs. A lot of times we hear references to this, and as we're talking yesterday, we have to confess that there have certainly been abuses, and it becomes maybe wearisome for some of our listeners to endure this kind of fellowship again. But I think our minds all need to be renewed, because in its proper context and in the proper sanctified light, there are spiritual truths here that we must not overlook, aren't there?
That's right, and I feel like this is the approach to this matter that really is according to God's generous heart and according to His way, not by compelling, but by offering the opportunities to be a giver with hilarity. So I hope that we could really see something here that is different from what we usually hear, and see it in a scriptural setting with a loving heart for God and for His people.
Talk about this point he raised, that our giving needs to be carried out with a view towards others. Even as believers, we know that if we don't give, there'll be a consequence to that. So it's possible to be giving, thinking seemingly in a New Testament principle, but really with our eye on ourself, even in our giving.
Yes, that is a possibility, and I'm afraid it often bothers people that they don't want to be selfish, but when they're giving, they're expecting the benefit of a good feeling or some prosperity themselves without the sense that it's really for others. But if we could get this in our being, just like God, who so loved that he gave everything, and Christ came and gave everything, well, not for himself, but for the benefit of others. So if we have this kind of view, I think we'll be more in line with Paul's burden here in this chapter.
At the beginning of chapter 8, Paul said, "Furthermore, we make known to you, brothers, the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in much proving of affliction, the abundance of their joy and the depth of their poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." That's kind of a mouthful, but as I understand that verse, it's talking about here were churches in Macedonia that were also very poor, like the churches in Judea were poor. And yet, even in their condition of poverty, they gave in excess. They gave over and above. And the verse that follows, verse 3 says, "And that according to their power, I testify, and beyond their power, of their own accord."
Yes.
This is very touching, isn't it?
That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? To see in their affliction and in their extreme poverty, they abounded in this matter of giving. That really is precious. That's something of resurrection life.
That really is. And, you know, I've been given the opportunity on a few occasions to travel into some of the more third world or developing parts of the world. I know you have more so than I, and have experienced this kind of outpouring firsthand. A number of the brothers that minister in a lot of these places come back with the same story. Always the meals that you're served and the accommodations they provide are over and above their power, aren't they?
It's very touching. It is very touching. Beyond their power, they gave of themselves. This has been my experience too, yes.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Why Paul added chapter 9? Because he must give us another illustration of giving. That is the sowing. These two thoughts, the giving is the gathering, the giving is the sowing. These two thoughts controlled his writing of these two chapters. Paul was not a superficial writer. He was deep in his thinking. He read through the Old Testament. He realized what was there in Exodus 16, the gathering of God's people's daily supply. And today, in Paul's thought, we all are in wilderness. Every day we go to work, actually you are gathering manna. And your gathering must turn to giving. Your working is to make money. This making money must turn to giving. You have to give. Whatever you give, that is your gathering. So he likens our giving to the gathering of man. The thought was profound. Not only so, our giving is also like sowing. And this chapter shows us another aspect of our giving. You must sow. You must sow. Then you can reap. Well, when you sow what? With blessing to others. You sow not only for yourself, you sow for others with blessing. Your giving must be with blessing to others. Even in the Old Testament, the giving was a blessing. When Jacob was going to meet his brother Esau, Jacob gave Esau something. That was a blessing. When you sow with blessing to others, you will reap with blessing from God to you.
Francis, there are judicial laws, there are natural laws, and there are spiritual laws. This really is a spiritual law. If we sow with genuine blessing, we will reap with a blessing, won't we?
Yes, isn't that marvelous?
Yeah, it is.
That's something I think it's so normal to consider it that way. But I don't think I've ever heard it brought out in such a blessed way, that when you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And when you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. So this is something of, here the sowing is the giving, and the reaping is for others. So they are really getting the blessing out of our sowing. So the sowing here is a giving, isn't it?
Right. And also in Exodus 16, the picture he uses in chapter 8, the gathering is also a giving. How do we see a gathering reflecting our giving? It seems like they're opposites.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I first looked into this, that it looks like that's just the opposite. To be gathering would be giving. But to gather is with a view to others, not just for our own self. But that makes a big difference. If you're gathering in a big income,
right,
or a medium income or any income, and you have someone else in mind, we have others in mind, this can really be a benefit and a blessing to them.
We touched this a little bit yesterday, but it's, I think, a point worth coming back to. In Exodus 16, of course, each family was able to go out and gather, I think, one omer per person, according to the number in their tent. If they gathered over and above that and tried to hang on to it for the next day or the coming days, they would find that by afternoon when the sun hit it, it melted, so there was no point. But there were probably those who did gather excess, but they used that excess to supply those who couldn't gather for themselves. And this is the kind of sense in which our gathering is our giving, isn't it?
And when you get into this relationship, as there was between the churches here, and you see the example of it in the Old Testament with the gathering manna day by day, you realize this is a love matter. This is caring not only for yourself, but for others.
This section ends on a very touching note in chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. You, in everything, are being enriched unto all liberality, which works out through us thanksgiving to God, because the ministry of this service is not only filling up the lack of the saints, but is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God.
Amen.
So the net result is our gathering, our sowing, results in our giving, and this produces a thanksgiving to God. And this sweet cycle is the subject of our final portion today.
God controls the life supply among his children miraculously. You want to make yourself rich for 100 generations. You are rich, your son, your children are rich, the grandchildren are rich, grand-grandchildren will be rich, 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 through all the generations. I tell you, to figure this way is up to you, but to fly away everything is up to him. It's not up to you. Whether you are a Chinese, you are a New Zealander, you are an American, you are a Jew. Even the Jewish Christians could not be raised for generations. But in sowing, there's no miracle. It's a natural law. God doesn't need to exercise his miracles. Natural law. You and I, we need to sow. That is to give. Your sowing is giving. The more you give, the more you reap. I also can testify in my Christian life, I never saw one who has been a giver to God for years. I never saw such a one who has not been much blessed by the Lord. No, the Lord, he would always keep the natural laws ordained by himself at work. Dear saints, you have to take care of the Lord's miracle, and you have to take care of the Lord's natural law. For both, you need to give. And the result is not to make you rich. The result is to abound in thanksgivings to God. I hope that many of you will be witnesses in the coming days that you become a factor of sanctifying to God through many. This means you sow you give, and your giving, your sowing, will abound in lots of thanksgivings to God through many. I have the full confidence if the saints would give, God's people will be never lacking.
I love how this portion ends, the sowing and the gathering, which really are our giving, but the net result is an abounding thanksgiving to God. Talk about this cycle a little bit.
I think this is so marvelous because what we really are interested in is giving glory to God, satisfaction to God's heart. He gave all. Christ gave all. Now he is turning this opportunity back to us in a natural way and even in a miraculous way. He's providing everything for us, and through that we are able to provide for others, and the provision for others causes much thanksgiving unto God. So this is really an opportunity for God's people to cause God to be very happy and very blessed with all the thanksgivings that come to him because of our giving. If we have this kind of view, I think we will realize what a blessing it is to give, and especially when there's poverty or there's affliction, and yet there is this kind of loving care for others. This is a real cause of much thanksgiving, abounding to God.
Francis, do you have the same full confidence that Witness Lee has, that if the saints would give, God's people would never be lacking?
This is according to the Bible.
Right.
And I'd like to have the same confidence that Brother Lee had. Yes. But this is certainly according to the Bible. His seed shall not be found begging bread. And promises like this in the Psalms and in the Proverbs,
right,
both.
Right.
But God's intention is that we would be just so hilariously open to him to give no matter what.
Yeah, we didn't really touch that word very much. Really don't have too much time, but the word cheerful there in Greek is the word for hilarious, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. That really touches me. When you give hilariously, that means you're really happy to do it.
That's not something that is done out of necessity or duty ever that way,
no,
is it? The kind
no.
of hilarious giving.
You feel really hampered when you can't give.
Mm. I've enjoyed our fellowship, Francis. This has been a good section this week to cover this practical matter in such detail. We've had, as I said, four programs on it. We move on. Chapter 10, Paul begins a kind of a vindication of his apostolic authority. Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.